20. And I'll say this, beloved, I just, who knows what's going to happen day by day. But this is what God led me to preach. Maybe not be the message you think I should preach, that's fine. But I know God wants me to preach it. And so we're going to take it as from the Lord. And Exodus chapter 20, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us at this time. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness. Thank you that you saved Rob and changed his life tremendously. And we rejoice in that. And thank you for such a good church member and a faithful servant of the Lord. And Father, we look forward to seeing him again. But Father, we pray for the unsaved today that they would feel your judgment upon them. The Bible says the Spirit of God will judge of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And I pray that there be conviction today of thy Holy Spirit. I pray the saved also, as the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 20, keep yourselves from idols. We can have idols in our lives, and I pray that we be careful not to do that, not to offend you. And I pray, Father, we would trust the Lord as we go through this service and help us do your will. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So notice, if you would, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. There's a stop right there. That's a picture of salvation. They were in Egypt. Egypt always represents the world. Pharaoh represents the devil. And what were they? They were in Egypt, and they were in bondage, because they were in that, they were slaves. And you say, well, you and I weren't slaves. We never were. But we're a slave to sin before salvation. We understand the bondage that people have before salvation. So God goes on and tells us in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make in thee any graven image or anything or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, and that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and unto the third and fourth generation, then they hate me. So thank you. You may be seated. So God tells us in his word, we're not to have any other gods before him. And God says we're not to make any graven image, and we're not to bow down to it. Now, let me just say this. You cannot approach the word of God and say, I know the Bible says, but. You can't do that. We have to go to the word of God and say, I know the word of God says, and that settles it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to obey. That's what I'm going to trust. The Bible says it, that settles it. And again, we're not to, put our two cents into it. So there's a lot of religions, which we'll get to in just a little bit, that they worship idols. They worship graven images. They're things between that person and God. There's idols in their lives. And God tells them we're not to have them. Again, idolatry is breaking the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, and then the second commandment, which we find later on in the chapter. And God tells the apostle John wrote about this in 1 John 5 and verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols, amen. So why? Why is that? Because people are idolatrous by nature. And we'll delve into that today. The Bible has much to say against idols to the unsaved, to false professors, and to true converts to Christ. So what is idolatry? An idol is anything that would occupy the place in one's heart which is due God, period. Anything that would occupy our heart before God. Now the Lord is due our whole heart. And God's word is God's standard. The Ten Commandments are no other scriptures which cancel. There's no other scripture that cancels God's law. So there aren't, I know this doesn't. This is found in this verse of scripture in the New Testament. It kind of cancels out the law. There's no verse. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, is a law against God? God forbid. Law is not against God. It shows us, the law shows us how perfect God is, shows us his holiness. Now, you and I can't keep the law. We break it by what we do and what we think. But God kept the law perfectly. And he's never sinned. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, then we are not to make graven images. We're not to bow down nor serve them. And we can go through all the religions of the world and see how they do that. They bow down before it and they serve them. If you're going to bow to anyone, it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be the Lord. Now, these commands are just as much for today as they were when God wrote them in stone with his finger. And that's how God wrote the Ten Commandments. So the first thing we see today is the concept of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, unless people have the right concept of God, they will not be able to know him and worship him. And this is essentialist. We'll head over to John chapter 4. John 4, let's turn there. And if you don't know the Lord, you may know about God, but if you don't know him. So a lot of people, they say, oh, I know Joe Biden, so, but they don't know, they know about him. He's our president, and that's fine, but they don't know him. And a lot of people say they know the Lord, but they know about him, but they don't know him. And how important that is that we have a right concept of who God is. Now, there was a woman in John chapter 4 that was at the well. And she did not have a right concept of God. So she went out to the well. The well was not in the city. It was outside the city. And she went out there because she was she had been married five times, and she was living with a man. And so we find that she was considered looked down upon by society. And Jesus went out of his way to meet her at that well. And why? Because he knew she wanted to know God. God knows everyone's heart. And so we find here in John chapter 4 and verse 24, God says, God is a spirit, and they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. Period. That's it. We're not to worship God any other way, but in the spirit and in truth. So, concerning the Holy Spirit and concerning what the Word of God says. That's how we know God. That's how we worship God. And a lot of people say, well, our worship is different. Well, it is different. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. It's not found in the Word of God. So there's a lot of worship that's in our world that is just not sound worship. So we find here, since the nature of the Almighty is not material, no material representative can be used to platform for the worship of the Eternal One. So it's not material. God says spirit and truth. Any idolatrous representative of the triune God shows that man did not know or understand the Lord. And so man, because of his sin nature, has a false concept of God and approaches God through idols and images. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. And notice verse 23. Romans chapter 1 and verse 23. And the Bible tells us here in verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into, what does it say? An image made, liked to corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beast, and to creeping things. You say, why would man do that? Because he's depraved. He doesn't know God. So what he does, he makes him, like the Bible says, corruptible man. He allows man to be made in the image, to represent the Lord. And these things are false. They're not true. So we see, letter A, the person of God, and the Lord is a person. And that's important to understand, that he's our Father. The Bible says in the Bible, our Father who art in heaven. So he's a father. He's not a woman. He represents himself as a man. And when he had his son was a man, complete man. Jesus had some long hair, effeminate type of guy walking around. He was a man. He was a carpenter. And he was a man's man. And he said what he meant what he said. And the Bible tells that God the Father and then God the Son, as the second person of Godhead, the Son of God was made sinless in the form of man, and Jesus was called the Son of Man. The third person of Godhead is the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. He's a person. And how do we know he's a person? He's not a force. A lot of people say, oh, he's like the force. He's not a force. Now, he's a force you don't want to reckon with, but he's not a force. He's a person. And one of the reasons we know, because the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Well, what's grieve mean? It means to offend or to hurt. And you can't hurt an inanimate object. I know that piano. I'm not going to hurt it. Hey, don't be piano. It has no feelings. Does it? It has no feeling. Hey, you three-legged monster, what are you doing? It has no feelings. This pulpit, as much as we say it's sacred, we're preaching the Word of God behind it, it's an inanimate object. This, I hate to tell you, but this is false. I know, surprise, but it's false. I can say all I want, you know, what a dumb bush it is and so on, no feelings. But when you speak about the Spirit of God, and you say what the Spirit of God does and what he doesn't do, if it's not according to Scripture, it's grievous to the Holy Spirit. If you have hard feelings toward your fellow man, it's grievous to the Holy Spirit. So he's a person. He can be grieved. He can lead us. And he will teach us all things. Now we know the Lord through creation. The Bible says the heaven declare the glory of God, Romans 1:20. Let's turn back there, please, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. And the Bible tells us in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the word Godhead is used in the Bible, but not Trinity. Trinity is a man-made word. And I understand the teaching, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but the biblical word is Godhead. And that's what we want to use as much as possible. And so we find here, we find that God is seen through creation and then through his word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Let's turn there. Ephesians 1, verse 13. The Bible said in verse 13, he said, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel is your salvation. So we got to hear the word of truth. We got to hear the Bible. What does the Bible say? And then the gospel of your salvation, whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So God says you have to hear the word, you have to believe the word. Now, I want to say this with all my heart. As much as you come here, and we appreciate our friends and visitors attending our church regularly, unless you believe the word of God, you're not going to trust the word of God. And I'll tell you, the best thing that ever happened to me was when I, at the age of 19, when I turned to God for my sin, and I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I gave up my religion. I received a relationship with the Lord. Best thing ever happened to me. And I've been saved and lived with God for 44 years. I don't regret it a bit. So we see, you got to hear the word of God. You got to believe it. You got to trust it. And then you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And notice verse 1 and 2. Now watch this. God, who in sundry times and divers places and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers of the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his what? by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he had made the world. Notice chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have what? Heard. But lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by the angel was steadfast, and it is. And every transgression, disobedience receives a just recompense and reward, and it will. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed in us by them that heard them? So we see in 1 John chapter 5, let's turn there please, 1 John chapter 5, what are we seeing here? We're seeing the Lord's a person, and he communicates with us through his word. And he says in First John 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So think about what God's saying here. The Father, the Word, who's the Word? Jesus Christ, and the Spirit, and these three are one. I remember there was a Mormon one time, they're one in purpose. Doesn't say that. Again, if the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense, otherwise becomes what? Mormonism. So the idea is that, the thought is that these three are one. That's what the Bible says. So the scriptures tell us who God is and how a person can know him. And in John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Not one in purpose, one. And in John 14:9, Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen my Father. In Matthew 1, verse 23, speaking of the birth of Christ, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Not a symbolism of God, not kind of like God. God with us. Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. You say, preacher, I don't understand all this imagery with God is saying here his word. You know why? You know why we don't understand, beloved? Because God is higher than man. He's not our peer. He is above us. He dwells in eternity. Now, I dwell in time. Get up a certain time and get to bed a certain time. Some days I have to take a nap. Some days I just go, and so on. I dwell in time. God doesn't know what it is to be tired. God doesn't know what it is to take a day off. Why? He controls everything. He controls the universe. And he dwells, inhabits eternity. My, what a great God. What a great God. So, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul has set forth in Jesus as the image of the invisible God, and declaring that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, you say, what does that mean? In Christ dwelled within him the fullness of God. How? In his body. Bible says Jesus, in John chapter 1, Jesus was full of grace and truth. It wasn't half full, it wasn't three quarters full, it wasn't 90% full. Full of grace and truth. Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. There are many other verses I could show you, but I trust that would be sufficient. So we see the Lordship of Christ and the Savior of Christ. It is then that we have seen God. Understand, the Lord will have no false representation in worship of the Lord. And again, the idea is that how do we worship God? In spirit and in truth. Nothing more, nothing less. We've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, please understand me. I don't know who you are, where you're from, but this charismatic garbage, with a capital G, this false doctrine, this false, oh, a woman's a preacher. That's a lie. A preacher's got to be a husband, one wife. Now, maybe some of them are that way. Not my book, but the idea of being a husband, that's false. They've never been called of God. They're lying. And then when you start, being act like, oh, I speak in tongues, and I believe in healings, and I'm, glorify God, that's a bunch of hooey. It's a lie. It's false. You worship God, you worship in spirit and in truth. That's how you worship God. Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to run around heaven. When you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, you're going to fall on your face before God and worship Him. Stop putting yourself in the middle of everything. I'm going to do it. You're going to squat. You're going to bow down before God and worship Him. Amen. And why not? Why wouldn't you? Because we're not going to be eating spaghetti in heaven. I can't wait to get in. We're going to have a spaghetti. We're going to visit the birds and the fields. And we're going to... No, you're not. Heaven's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. We're going to see Him as He is. Amen. So, we see the unsaved man does not have the Holy Spirit of God. See, that whole thinking, that whole philosophy is man-centered. And salvation is God-centered. It's what God did for me, what God did for you. Therefore, it is the flesh, the unsaved, it's sinful, it's not in Christ. Unless we are converted or born again, we are dead in trespass and sin. That man is unregenerate, unconverted, unsaved, without Christ, without hope. Now turn with me back in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4, and notice verse 17. And the Bible says in verse 17, "This I say therefore, testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart." So this verse right here it explains what man's condition is. His understanding is what? So you may have a PhD, you may be a well-educated person, but God says if you don't know Him, God says it doesn't matter what kind of wisdom of the world you have, it's whether you know God or not. So your understanding is darkened. You're alienated from the life of God. You don't know the Lord. You may have a religious type of being, a religious type of person, and all men are religious, but you're alienated from life in God. And again, through the ignorance that is in them. God calls man ignorant. So I'm a doctor. I study for all these years. What'd you study? Have you ever studied God? You ever studied about the Lord? You ever studied God's Word? Then God says, because of the blindness of the heart, man is blind. Man cannot see. So religion is what you touch, what you see, what you smell, what you hear. That's not worship of Christ. They don't worship God, must worship in spirit and in truth. So images are the works of man's hand. Images, statues, humanize the Lord. You may say, I like that. The thought that God is not dwelling in eternity, that He is the Almighty God, that God is perfect, righteous, holy, that the Lord is the King of kings and Lord of lords, that God is not like man. I don't comprehend that, but I revel in it. And I say that with great sincerity. I don't understand it. How do you dwell in eternity? I dwell in time. We dwell in time. We cannot substitute the revelation of the person of God himself towards man. Sometimes the New Testament church, the ministry, the preacher becomes, in some people's mind, more important than God himself. And I'm telling you, that's false. I'm a man. That's who I am. I'm a man. I fall short. I'm going to fail you somehow, some way. I don't mean to. I don't want to offend anyone. But that's what I am. I'm a man. And you cannot limit God to our understanding. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. This is how the Lord reveals himself to man. So images are the products of a person's depraved heart. That's what images are. It's a picture of man's depraved heart. Man knew he's getting nowhere in his effort to worship God. He began to make images and pictures to aid him in his worship. So there are a lot of paintings that were done in the Middle Ages of Jesus Christ. Say, well, I know what Jesus looked like. No, you don't. You have no idea what he looked like. There was never a photo of Jesus Christ. He was a common man. That's what the Bible says. He looked like every other man. There was nothing that stood out about Christ. In vacation Bible school packages we get, they make Jesus like some kind of blonde-headed, long-haired California dude. He wasn't that way. He was a Jew. So, and you didn't know what he looked like. Why? Because God doesn't want you worshiping an image. God doesn't want you to worship a statue. God wants you to worship him. Amen. So man is getting himself nowhere in his efforts to worship God. So began to make images and pictures to aid him in worship. This is exactly forbidden by God in the first two commandments. No God, no other gods, and no images of the Lord. So second of all, we see the commandment of God. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, please. Exodus chapter 20. And notice, if you would, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any like of the thing that in the heaven above. So if something in heaven, don't make an image of it. Or that is the earth beneath, don't make an image of it. Or that is in the water on the earth, don't make an image of it. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. So again, graven images. We're not to make them. We're not to serve them. So let's continue on as we look to the Word of God. And God is speaking to our hearts here about we're not to make or bow down to them. Now, idolatry is breaking the law of God. That's what it is. And remember, you cannot put a but behind that whole thing. Well, but no. God says worship him in spirit and in truth. And again, idolatry originated with the depraved man's heart and a thanklessness towards God. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 1, please. I'll just quote it to you real quick. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, 23. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professed themselves to be wise. They became fools. You understand that? Here they're saying, oh, we're wise. You become the fool and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now let's take a Bible and go to Isaiah 44. I want you all to see this. Isaiah chapter 44. And here we have an example in the scriptures of people making idols. Isaiah 44, and notice verse 15. Isaiah 44. Now, if you're not there, just listen. And then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself, yea, and kindleth it, and baketh bread, yea, he maketh a god. Now, see, so he has a fire going, he's making bread, and he makes a god. and worshipeth it, and maketh a graven image, and fall down thereto. So not only does he make an idol, he worships it, he falls down before it. God says, don't make them, and don't bow down to them. He goes on and says in verse 16, and he burneth part thereof in the fire, with part he eateth flesh, and roast, and is sanctified, yea, is warm with himself, saying, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Now hold on a second. What is that God made of? I don't know what he said, but wood, right? He has this idol. And he makes this idol, and he bows down to it, and he says, deliver me, for thou art my God. Now, can a piece of wood or stone or a brick or plaster, can that deliver anyone? You got to do better than that. Oh! That's why God says they profess to be wise and become fools. Now, why would anyone bow down and worship something inanimate? Verse 18, they have not known nor understood, for he hath shut his eyes that they cannot see, in their hearts they cannot understand, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding in the, to say, I have burned part of in the fire, yea, I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, and I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? I shall fall down to the stock of the tree. He feedeth on ashes, the seed of his heart hath turned him aside, and cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So this is what man does. He said, well, this was an example in the Bible. It's done all over the world. I saw them making idols in Bangladesh. Statues and carvings out of wood and carving out of stone. They're villages making idols that were deader than a doorknob. So that's why God says fools. That's what God says. They're fools. Now, let's look at some verses here. We're going to have to do a little Bible study. And idolaters are religious but lost. They must hear the gospel and be saved. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And forgive me if I'm there before you are. I'll forgive you if you're there before I am. But in verse 9, God says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So he says, how you turn to God for what? And thank you. And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's turn there. And notice, if you would, verse 14. And God says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. That's what God says. He says this to a New Testament church. Flee from idolatry. Notice verse 19 and 20. What I say then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offering a sacrifice, the idol is anything, but I say that the things which a Gentile sacrifice is sacrificed to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. And God goes on and says in verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 4, and notes verse 3. And God says, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image God, should shine unto them. So God is telling us the idolatry is very demonic and has a demonic pull on the unsaved. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verse 9. And God says in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now God tells us there's none righteous, no, not one, and the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes on and says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuse themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. So these people had come out of paganism, heathenism, and they got saved, and they live with God now. But God tells us, if you're an idolater, if, whatever you worship, you're not worshiping God, and it's not going to be well with you. Now, what are idols? Statues, religious figures. May I say this? Mecca is worshipped by Islam, a city, a portion of ground. They bow to it three times a day. They don't bow before God. They bow to Mecca. Hindu worships 33 million gods and goddesses. And Catholicism worships images, statues, relics. This is crazy. I'm telling you, this stuff is so false. I read one time they had so many pieces from the cross. They don't have any pieces from the cross, but in a lot of churches they have pieces of the cross. They could build a neighborhood. They have a hair, Mary's hair. They don't. Why would they cut off Mary's hair and save it? But they have so much hair for Mary, they can make wigs. Peter's bones. That's paganism. Why would you worship Peter's bones? Protestants worship their creeds and crosses. But Bible believers worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And may I say that there are other things that people worship. People can worship themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now people say, oh, you know, you got to love yourself. You know, I'll tell you this, beloved. If you're saved, you're going to respect yourself. You're going to think right about yourself. But, you know, the idea of loving self, that's a problem in our America. People are full of themselves. They bow down themselves. They worship themselves. Narcissism. Self-centered, selfish, making everything about themselves. Let me tell you something, that's a shallow existence. Their goal is to do what they want to do. And no one's going to tell them how to live their lives. Love is a pleasure, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Love is a pleasure more than love is of God. God tells us over in Colossians, let's turn there please. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, you're not there, just listen. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication and cleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Is exactly what it is. And God doesn't want us to be idolaters. Love of money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Love of the world. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, either things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love of sensuality. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Whose God is their belly, who mind earth and things. We're not to be earthly minded. We're set affection on things above. Parents who worship their children or child, they think of the house of Eli, the high priest in Israel. His two sons were sons of Belial. They were unsaved. They worshiped the devil. And they knew not the Lord, the Bible says. They were evil sons. They were laying with the women in the temple. And God said later on in the story in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 29, he spoke to Eli and said, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor thy sons above me? What God said? You're excusing your sons, you're excusing their partners, and you're taking it lightly, and you're honoring your sons above me. to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. People worshiping children above God. That's idolatry. Blatant idolatry. And last of all, we see the Christian and his God. May I say this today, beloved? God desires your worship. And he's worthy of your worship. He's worthy. Now, you can take anything else in the world and look at it. Is that worthy of your worship? And there's no one who can worship like you do, so give him your best. And again, God wants your best. God wants you to know him. God is looking for worshipers. Second of all, God deserves your worship. Not only does he desire, he deserves. Worship comes from worth-ship. Our worth-ship shows what we think about the Lord's worth. Do people who surround you in this life see what the Lord means to you? And third of all, God demands our worship. We cannot be much for God until we are much with God. May I say a few things before I close? Lost friends, you must accept what God says about worship. In sincerity, without you repenting of your sins and placing your faith in the Lord, there is no worship. And to the child of God, God demands your worship. And I know that people hit and miss. Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off, sometimes. But that's the difference between spiritual carnality and spiritual maturity. And God doesn't want you to be carnal. God wants to be spiritual. Jesus said this, he said to save people, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So I think it's important for us to respond and do God's will for our lives. If you're not saved, come to Christ. If you are saved, I trust you'll yield yourself to God and be everything God wants you to be. Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.